You're listening to Cross the Border. That's the name of this program. I'm Nicholas, and we are going through 1 Samuel. And last time, where we left off was Samuel chapter 10. And about verse 22, Samuel had just rehearsed to the people how they had rejected God and asked him for a king. So he called all of the tribes to come near in the tribe of Benjamin. And they sought out, they were seeking for Saul, and they inquired of the Lord further if the man should yet come thither, and the Lord answered, "Behold, he hath hid himself among the stuff." So Saul, for whatever reason, is hiding. And they ran and fetched him thence, and he stood among the people. He was higher than any of the people from his shoulders upwards. So he stood head above the people. And Samuel said to all the people, See ye him whom the Lord hath chosen, that there is none like him among all the people. And all the people shouted and said, "God save the king." That's that cry that has rang out through the ages. God save the king. God save the king. Then Samuel told the people the manner of the kingdom, and wrote it in a book, and laid it up before the Lord. And Samuel sent all the people away, every man to his house. And Samuel also went home to Gibeah, and there went with him a band of men, whose hearts God had touched. But the children of Belial said, "How shall this man save us?" And they despised him, and brought him no presents, but he held his peace. And Nahash the Ammonite came up and encamped against Jabesh-Gilead. And all the men of Jabesh said unto Nahash, "Make a covenant with us, and we will serve thee." And Nahash the Ammonite answered them, "On this condition will I make a covenant with you, that I may thrust out all of your right eyes, and lay it for reproach upon all Israel." And the elders of Jabesh said unto him, "Give us 7 days, that we may send messengers unto all the coasts of Israel. Then, if there be no man to save us, we will come out to thee." And I kind of wonder, what's going on here? They're talking about thrusting out their eyes. I'm going to look to our good friend here, Henry, and see what he has to say about this. When in doubt, turn to Henry, right? Matthew Henry, that is, and his commentaries. The Ammonites were bad neighbors to those tribes of Israel that lay next to them, though descendant from just Lot, and for that reason dealt civilly by Israel. Jephthah in his time had humbled them, but now the sin of Israel had put them into a capacity to make head again and avenge that quarrel. The city of Jabesh-Gilead had been some ages ago destroyed by Israel's sword of justice for not appearing against the wickedness of Gibeah, but now being replenished again, probably by the posterity of those that then escaped by the sword. It is in danger of being destroyed by the Ammonites, as if some bad fate attended the place. Nahash, king of Ammon, laid siege to it. Now hear, the besieged beat a parley, "Make a covenant with us, and we will surrender upon terms and serve thee." They had lost the virtue of Israelites, else they would not have thus lost the valor of Israelites, nor tamely yielded to serve an Ammonite without one bold struggle for themselves. Had they not broken their covenant with God and forsaken his service, they needed not thus to have courted a covenant with a Gentile nation and offered themselves to serve them. The besiegers offer them base and barbarous conditions. They will spare their lives and take them to be their servants upon the condition that they will put out their right eyes. The Gileadites were content to part with their liberty and estates for the ransom of their blood, and had the Ammonites taken them at their word, a matter would have been so settled immediately, and Gileadites would not have sent out for relief. But their abject concessions to make the Ammonites more insolent in their demands, and they cannot be content to have them for servants, but one, they must torment them and put them to pain, exquisite pain, for so the thrusting out of an eye would do. They must disable them from war and render them incapable, though not of labor, that would have been a loss to their lords. So putting out one eye would make them incapable of warring, but not incapable of being put to labor. Continuing, yet of bearing arms, for in those times they fought with shields in their left hands, which covered their left eye, so that the soldier without his right eye was in effect blind. They must put a reproach upon all Israel as weak and cowardly, that would suffer the inhabitants of one of their chief cities to be thus miserably used and not offer to rescue them. Well, this is quite a tale here. And besiege desire and obtain 7 days' time to consider of the proposal. If Nahash had not granted them this respite, we may suppose the horror of the proposal would have made them desperate, and they would rather have died with their swords in their hands than have surrendered to such merciless enemies. Therefore Nahash, not imagining it possible that in so short a time they should have relief, and being very secure of the advantages he thought he had against them, in a bravado gave them 7 days, that the reproach upon Israel for not rescuing them might be the greater, and his triumphs the more illustrious. But there was a providence in it, that his security might be an infatuation and ruin. So, with a little more understanding, we'll continue here. The messenger of Gibeah came. Then came the messengers of Gibeah to Saul and told the tidings in the ears of the people, and all the people lifted up their voices and wept. And behold, Saul came after he heard out of the field. And Saul said, "What aileth the people that they should weep?" And they told him in the tidings of the men of Jabesh. And the Spirit of God came upon Saul when he heard those things, and his anger was kindled greatly. And he took a yoke of oxen and hewed them in pieces and sent them throughout all the coasts of Israel by the hands of messengers, saying, "Whosoever cometh not forth after Saul and after Samuel, so shall it be done unto his oxen." And the fear of the Lord fell upon all the people, and they came out with one consent. And when he numbered them in Bezek, the children of Israel were 300,000, and the men of Judah 30,000. And they said unto the messengers that came, "Thus shall you say to the men of Jabesh Gilead, tomorrow, by that time the sun be hot, you shall have help." And the messengers came and showed to the men of Jabesh, and they were glad. Therefore the men of Jabesh said, "Tomorrow we will come out unto you, and you shall do with us all that seemeth good unto you." And it was on the morrow that Saul put the people in three companies, and they came into the midst of the hosts in the morning watch, and slew the Ammonites until the heat of the day. And it came to pass that they which remained were scattered, so that two of them were not left together. And the people said to Samuel, "Who is he that said, 'Shall Saul reign over us? Bring us the men, that we may put them to death.'" And Saul said, "There shall not a man be put to death this day, for today the Lord hath wrought salvation in Israel." Then said Samuel to the people, "Come, let us go to Gilgal and renew the kingdom there." And all the people went to Gilgal, and there they made Saul king before the Lord in Gilgal, and there they sacrificed sacrifices of peace offerings before the Lord, and there Saul and all the men of Israel rejoiced greatly. Chapter 12 and verse 1. And Samuel said to all Israel, "Behold, I have hearkened unto your words, unto your voice, in all that you said unto me, and have made a king over you. And now behold, the king walketh before you, and I am old and gray-headed. And behold, my sons are with you, and I have walked before you from my childhood unto this day. Behold, here I am, witness against me before the Lord and before his anointed. Whose ox have I taken, or whose ass have I taken, or whom have I defrauded? Whom have I oppressed, or of whose hand have I received any bribe to blind mine eyes therewith? And I will restore it you. And they said, Thou hast not defrauded us, nor oppressed us, neither hast thou taken aught of any man's hand. And he said unto them, The Lord is witness against you, and his anointed is witness this day, that you have not found aught in my hand. And they answered, He is witness. And Saul said to the people, It is the Lord that advanced Moses and Aaron, and that brought your fathers up out of the land of Egypt. Now therefore stand still, that I may reason with you before the Lord of all the righteous acts of the Lord, which he did to you and your fathers. When Jacob was come into Egypt, and your fathers cried unto the Lord, then the Lord sent Moses and Aaron, which brought forth your fathers out of Egypt, and made us dwell in this place. And when they forgot Yahuwah, their God, and sold them into the hand of Sisera, captain of the host of Hazor, and into the hand of the Philistines, and into the hand of the king of Moab, and they fought against him. And then they cried unto the Lord, and said, We have sinned, because we have forsaken the Lord, and have served Baalim and Ashtaroth. But now deliver us out of the hand of our enemies, and we will serve thee. And the Lord sent Zerubbabel, and Bedan, and Jephthah, and Samuel, and delivered you out of the hand of your enemies on every side, and you dwelled safe. And when you saw that Nahash, the king of the children of Ammon, came against you, you said, Nay, but let a king shall reign over us. Then the Lord your God, when the Lord your God was your king. Now there behold the king whom you have chosen, and whom you have desired. And behold, the Lord hath set a king over you. If you will fear the Lord, and serve him, and obey his voice, and not rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then shall both ye, and also the king that reigneth over you, continue following the Lord your God. But if you will not obey the voice of Yahuwah, but rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then shall the hand of the Lord be against you, as it was against your fathers. Now therefore, stand and see this great thing which the Lord will do before your eyes. Is it not wheat harvest today? I will call unto the Lord, and he shall send thunder and rain, that you may perceive and see that your wickedness is great, which you have done in the sight of the Lord, in asking you a king. So Samuel called unto Yahuwah, and he sent thunder and rain that day, and all the people greatly feared the Lord and Samuel. And all the people said to Samuel, Pray for thy servants unto the Lord thy God, that we die not. For we have added unto all of our sins this evil, to ask us a king. And Samuel said to the people, Fear not. You have undone all this wickedness, yet turn not aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart. And turn ye not aside, for then you should go after vain things which cannot profit nor deliver, for they are vain. For the Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake, because it has pleased Yahuwah to make you his people. Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you, but I will teach you the good and the right way. Only fear Yahuwah and serve him in truth with all your heart, for consider how great things he hath done for you. But if you shall still do wickedly, you shall be consumed, both ye and your king. Saul reigned 1 year, and when he had reigned 2 years over Israel, he chose him 3,000 men of Israel, whereof 2,000 were with Saul in Mishmash in the Mount Bethel, and 1,000 were with Jonathan in Gibeah of Benjamin, and the rest of the people sent every man to his tent. And Jonathan smote the garrison of the Philistines that was in Geba, and the Philistines heard of it, and Saul blew the trumpet throughout all the land, saying, "Let the Hebrews hear." And all Israel heard say that Saul had smitten a garrison of the Philistines, and that Israel also had in abomination with the Philistines, and the people were called together after Saul to Gilgal. And the Philistines gathered themselves together to fight with Israel, 30,000 chariots and 6,000 horsemen, and people as the sand which is on the sea shore in multitude. And they came up and pitched at Michmash, eastward from Beth Aven. And the men of Israel saw that they were in a strait, for the people were distressed. Then the people did hide themselves in caves and in thickets and in rocks and in high places and in pits. And some of the Hebrews went over Jordan to the land of Gad and Gilead. As for Saul, he was yet in Gilgal, and all the people followed him, trembling. And he tarried 7 days according to the set time that Samuel had appointed. But Samuel came not to Gilgal, and the people were scattered from him. And Saul said, "Bring thither a burnt offering to me and peace offerings." And he offered the burnt offering. And it came to pass that as soon as he had made an end of offering the burnt offering, behold, Samuel came, and Saul went out to meet him, that he might salute him. And Samuel said, "What hast thou done?" And Saul said, "Because I saw that the people were scattered from me, and that thou camest not within the days appointed, that the Philistines gathered themselves together at Michmash, therefore said I, 'The Philistines will come down now upon me to Gilgal, and I have not made supplication unto the Lord. I forced myself, therefore, and offered a burnt offering.'" And Samuel said to Saul, "Thou hast done foolishly. Thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God, which he commanded thee. For now would the Lord have established thy kingdom upon Israel forever. But now thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord hath sought him a man after his own heart, and the Lord hath commanded him to be captain over his people, because thou hast not kept that which God, the Lord, commanded." Our good friend Henry here. Saul appears here a very silly prince, infatuated in his counsels, invaded by his neighbors, deserted by his soldiers, disordered in his own spirit and sacrificing in confusion, chided by Samuel, rejected of God from being king. The people appear here a very miserable people, disheartened and dispersed, diminished, plundered, disarmed. This they got, casting off God's government and making themselves like the nations, all their glory departed from them. So we see the state of the nation, much like the nation that I'm in today. The glory is departing, people. Sorry to say it, but the glory has departed. The nation is in disarray, and the people worship a man as God to take the place of God. God will not license their sin, so they have chosen them a God that will license their sin. You know, the times have changed. Things have changed. We have tanks instead of chariots, Humvees instead of horses, but still we have men, and the heart of man hasn't changed a bit. Things have changed. Yes, we have computers and telephones and cell phones, and oh, we all think we're wiser and more modern because of all these things that we have, but man has not changed. These things have only corrupted man into thinking somehow he is better because he seems to have better things. But they are all still things, and fire is still fire. Whether the flame is in a fireplace, or upon a candle, or comes from a light bulb, it is God who has made the fire and truly made all of these things. We'll continue after we get back from the break. You're listening to Cross the Border.